Chapter 40, Journal of Christian Science. Christian Science and Christian Scientists must have a history. Mary Baker Eddy, 1883. The journal Mrs. Eddy envisioned in 1883 was to be more than a diary record of her thoughts and experiences. She would edit a bi-monthly newspaper for the promotion and extension of Christian Science, as well as for recording its history. On the 1st of March, Arthur Buswell was appointed to handle the advertising. Sarah H. Cross was to be Mrs. Eddy's assistant. Before the first issue was published, however, business of another nature must be taken care of. A year had elapsed since she and Gilbert had sojourned in Washington, D.C., largely for the purpose of studying the copyright laws for the protection of science and health. That which they had planned to do together, she must now do alone, namely, restrain Ahrens in his plagiarism of her writings. Accordingly, on the 6th of April, a bill of complaint was filed, requesting an injunction against Ahrens to restrain him from publishing and circulating his pamphlet. 8 days later, all the students at the college were delighted to see the Journal of Christian Science, an independent family paper to promote health and morals. The first article, entitled Prospectus, ended with the following paragraph. Dear reader, the purpose of our paper is the desire of our heart, namely, to bring to many a household hearth health, happiness, and increased power to be good and to do good. To brighten so pure a hope will be to aid our prospect of fulfilling it through your kindly patronage of the Journal of Christian Science, of which this is our first issue and for which we are needing funds to establish its permanent publications. Mary B. Glover Eddy. Quote, a case of faith cure, end quote. On page 2 was an item from Medical News telling of Sir Humphrey Davy's healing a paralytic patient by merely taking his temperature with a thermometer. A very important column entitled, quote, Answers to Questions, end quote, began in this first issue. Mrs. Eddy wrote not only the answers, but most of the copy for all 8 pages. She drew frequently from her previous writings, both published and unpublished, in these early issues, and her notebooks were a wonderful source. From there came the poem on page 3, which had been written August 1st, 1882, when she was in Barton, Vermont, after Gilbert's death. The circumstances enhance its meaning. The Oak on the Summit. Ah, solemn mountain, at whose feet I stand, clouds do adorn thy brow, skies clasp thy hand. Nature and God in harmony profound, with peaceful presence, have begirt thee round. And thou, majestic oak, from yon high place, guard'st thou the earth asleep in night's embrace? Or from thy lofty summit, pouring down thy sheltering shade, her noonday glories crown? Whate'er thy mission, mountain sentinel, o'er my lone heart thou hast a magic spell, a lesson grave of life thou teachest me. I love the Hebrew figure of a tree. Faithful and patient be my years as thine, as strong to wrestle with the storms of time, as deeply rooted in a soil of love, as grandly rising to the heavens above. an article on page 5 titled, quote, Timely Thoughts, end quote, bore the initials HPS, probably Hanover P. Smith. The last page and one-third were devoted to notices, advertisements, and Christian Scientists' professional cards, the latter being those of Hanover P. Smith, Arthur T. Buswell, Julia Bartlett, Clara Choate, Janet T. Coleman, Sarah H. Cross, and seven others. An inkling of Mrs. Eddy's busy days can be gleaned from a perusal of the advertisements. Her professional card reads, quote, Professor of Obstetrics, Metaphysics and Christian Science, receives calls Mondays and Fridays from 3 to 5 p.m., end quote. An advertisement for the Massachusetts Metaphysical College said, quote, Students can enter at any time, excepting the last week in June, the month of July, or the first week of August. Address for further particulars, Mrs. M. B. Glover Eddy, President, end quote. A notice of meetings and lectures for the Church of Christ extended a cordial welcome to strangers to hear addresses by the pastor, Mary B. G. Eddy, every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Another notice announced free public lectures every Thursday at 7:30 p.m., quote, followed by discussion and practical explanation of Christian Science, end quote. A further notice stated that the Christian Scientist Association met on alternate Wednesdays at 3 p.m. In addition to all of the labor for the college, plus the founding, editing, and publishing of the journal, the leader was revising Science and Health midst the work of the litigation with Ahrens. The lawsuit weighed heavily upon her. She had known from the first that Ahrens was a sinner, but so were all her other students to a greater or lesser degree. Like Jesus, she was not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Without repentance, however, sin increases and thought grows more material, sensual, and devious. In the second issue of the journal, Mrs. Eddy wrote in a sermon, quote, The People's God, end quote. Quote, Because God is spirit, our thoughts must spiritualize to approach Him, and our methods grow more spiritual to accord with our thoughts, end quote. This sermon, which she also published in pamphlet form, began, Every step of progress is a step more spiritual. The great element of reform is not born of human wisdom. The footsteps of thought, as they pass from the sensual side of existence to the reality and soul of all things, are slow, portending a long night to the traveler. But the guardians of this night are the angels of His presence. She was speaking of her own footsteps spiritward, and was confronted with the malicious claim that her great life work had been born of the human wisdom of Phineas P. Quimby. Ahrens had rushed a new edition of his pamphlet into print with an altered title and the following revision in the preface. In a former pamphlet similar in some respects to this one, I gave the credit of authorship of some thoughts which I took from another work to the wrong party. Having been informed since that time that Dr. P. P. Quimby of Portland, Maine, was the author and originator of those thoughts, I transferred the credit to him. in his defense, filed in the circuit court in June, Ahrens alleged that Mrs. Eddy's works were not original, but had been copied from Quimby's manuscripts. When the case came up in July, it was carried over to the fall term. In the third edition of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy had written, quote, "For the last 10 years, we have had no rest, and with unremitting toil, have not had sufficient time to do the good we desired," end quote. The ensuing 2 years had presented even greater difficulties, making 12 years of unremitting toil without rest. In August, the tired leader wrote to her friend, Colonel Smith, in Washington, "I flee to you, but my poor, tired womanhood shuns the pity of it all. If only the warfare was open, and I had one strong nature like dear Gilbert's or your own to share my cares and burdens, I could endure it better. As it is, I have all this superstructure of Christian Science resting on my shoulders, and no moment yet of rest. I hope it all will not again go crashing down over my head and ears if I let go for a brief space, for if it does, I shall not rebuild again at the awful cost of the past 2 years." About this time, a Mr. George B. Charles journeyed to Boston. A brisk market for Science and Health had developed in the Midwest, centering in Chicago, and he had come from that city for the purpose of studying Christian Science. But alas, instead of going to the Massachusetts Metaphysical College, he went to A.J. Ahrens. But the leader's years of toil and travail were not to continue unabated. Perhaps 12 years were a fulfillment. However that may be, events were soon to take a turn in her favor.